This is the Pat Williams Weekend Hour on FM 96.5 News Talk WDBO. Now here's your host, Pat Williams.
Michael Mobison, our guest in that first half hour, talking about his book, The Success Equation. Really pleased that Antonio Mendez can join us. We're going to talk about this book, Argo, how the CIA and Hollywood pulled off the most audacious rescue in history. Antonio, it's very nice of you to join me. I hope you're doing well.
Doing well so far.
Good. This book is broken down into a good number of chapters, actually 16 of them, Antonio, and I want to cover as much of this as we can. You open your book by simply writing, "Welcome to the Revolution." Can you fill us in on what you're saying there about welcoming to the revolution?
The idea is that when you show up in Tehran, you get a real eyeful of what a revolution is all about. So there you are, standing in the midst of millions of people chanting, "Down with America, CIA's criminals, etc." You get it's this kind of little secret response, which is, "Welcome to the revolution. Where else would you like to be?"
And this was in November of 1979, right?
Right. The revolution actually started toward the end of 78. The Shah was deposed and sent into exile in January, and the place was upside down when I got there.
And what were your feelings, Antonio?
Well, the feelings were that it was out of control. Mm-hmm. Feelings were that we had a lot of things to accomplish, and we did many of them. Some of them didn't work, but overall it was a challenging atmosphere.
So we start with welcoming to the revolution. Then you write about picking up the pieces. What had to be done here?
Well, first of all, you had a number of assets. One would have, if you were in an intelligence business, you would have assets in the country who can give you the intelligence you need at the time. Ideally, the secrets of the enemy, what their intentions are. You have them in friendly countries as well as hostile countries, because you still want to know what's going on, no matter where you are.
Sure.
And when a revolution happens, what happens to that infrastructure that you've laid in there clandestinely? Those people all of a sudden no longer have the access, but they certainly got a problem, and that is they're going to be executed if somebody finds them. So picking up the pieces means you've got to go out there and get those people out of harm's way.
Mm. How about the third topic, simply called diplomacy? What had to be done here?
Well, warfare is one element of statecraft. Espionage is another, and, of course, diplomacy. And diplomacy is that thing you do overtly, and you try to make representations to the people whose interests that you're trying to sort out, and that's obviously the most genteel of the three. Hopefully you can get it done that way, but if you don't have any knowledge of who's in charge, because we completely missed the boat when we were giving our estimate as to what the future of the Shah's government was going to be. So the first thing you have to do is establish those contacts.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a Cuban Missile Crisis, you want to make sure you're talking to Khrushchev on the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody doesn't make a mistake that's going to annihilate everybody in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to have a KGB guy sitting somewhere close to the White House. He's not just—it's just not Khrushchev sitting off in a distance. And that way you can manage what could be a disaster. So when you're you got a revolution and everything is falling apart, you try to put it back together in a way so you have some control over what's going on. It was the only time in my CIA career that I felt like we were on a wartime footing. We had no control. We had no idea. We didn't know who was in charge. We didn't know what their agenda was. So we were guessing. And the word capricious came out of all that. The only thing these people have as far as an organizing principle is the fact that they are willing to blow up the table rather than negotiate at it. So that's the feeling you got when you're going to work. You got a few things to do there.
Yes. Antonio Mendez served in the CIA for 25 years, highly decorated officer, one of the top 50 officers in its first 50 years, lives with his family in rural Maryland outside of Washington, D.C. We're talking about his new book, Argo, How the CIA and Hollywood Pulled Off the Most Audacious Rescue in History. We move from diplomacy, Antonio, to nowhere to run. What's going on now?
Well, that's when the people are going to ground. My first book, I start out the chapter on the revolution by I find myself in a hideout in Tehran that one of our assets is using. And our task is to get him out of that hideout and get him, change his appearance and give him a false identity so that he can find his way out of the country. So that phase is what we enter into at the first that first chapter. And it's me in this guy's hideout at night in the middle of Tehran, trying to convince him that I can help him. He's scared. They're looking for him. If they catch him, he's going to be executed.
Canada to the rescue. Well, now what's happening? Where does Canada fit?
Well, Canada to the rescue is another game that turns out to be the Argo game. There were six people. When the U.S. Embassy was overrun in Tehran in November 1979, so-called militant students took over the U.S. Embassy and held approximately 60 people hostage, which turned out to be a very long, protracted hostage crisis. Well, they were being swept up. There were six people who escaped out the side door, and they were at large, trying to not be noticed on the streets of Tehran for 3 days. But they remembered somebody at the Canadian embassy that might be able to help them. So they called them, and sure enough, the Canadians were willing to help. The British had expelled them once already, and a couple other people did the same thing, leaving the Americans by themselves on the street, but the Canadians took them in. So in the midst of getting everybody into Iran that we could so we could reconnoiter the situation, we've got this problem of six people who Canadians are willing to help, but not forever. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's recognized very soon that more than one person has figured out that there were six people missing and know that they're hiding in the Canadian residences. There were two Canadian officers who kept them hidden in their homes. And so Canadian to the Rescue indicates that at least those six seem to be okay until we found out that at least one member of the media in Washington, D.C. Had figured out there were six missing and that they might be with the Canadians. So if that guy could figure it out, others could too. So we decided we got to put a priority on this situation.
How about lessons from the past, Antonio? What are you teaching or what are you explaining here?
Well, if you look at the past and send it forward as lessons learned, you can maybe get something done. In espionage operations, you don't do this very well because you don't want to tell each other what's gone on because this These are secrets. They shouldn't be generally available. But in the midst of that, you've got to learn from our mistakes and our victories so that you can do the next job.
What do you tell us about assembling the team, Antonio?
Assembling the team?
Yeah, that's the next topic that you write about, assembling the team. How did you go about that?
Oh, the team. I formed a team to do an exfiltration operation to bring the Canadians out.
Mm-hmm.
And that team would be typical for exfiltration operations. We did several dozen of these kinds of operations during the Cold War, so we were pretty good at it. And we knew how to put together a team, and we had the wherewithal in place to get these jobs done quickly and efficiently. But each problem, each case, each requirement, you form a team. People serve on several teams as the operations unfold. They move back and forth if necessary. So it's pretty busy business, particularly since you're maintaining about 15,000 alias identities in other cases where you're planning to bring people out of harm's way, and you're doing all this full time. So I was putting together a team to handle the Canadian caper, as we called it in those days.
Mm-hmm. Antonio Mendez, our guest. His book is called Argo, How the CIA and Hollywood Pulled Off the Most Audacious Rescue in History. Takes us back to November of 1979. Iranian militants stormed the American embassy in Tehran and held dozens of Americans hostage, sparking a 444-day ordeal and a quake in global politics that still reverberates today. Cover story, Hollywood, Studio 6. What's happening now? Explain all that and how this works. And we've got a major motion picture that came out last year. Can you put all that together for us, Antonio, and explain that?
Yeah, by the way, it's up for an Oscar.
Great.
The major motion picture is looking like it's leading for the Oscar
Beautiful.
Prize.
And it was directed and starring Ben Affleck, right?
Yes. Yeah, Ben Affleck played me.
And how did you feel when you saw all that? What did that make you feel like?
I thought it was awesome. particularly to see Ben Affleck, his face blowing up on the screen, and he's saying, "My name is Tony Mendez." Kind of overwhelming.
Yes.
But
how did that all come about, Tony?
The movie part of it?
Yes. And where does that fit in this book? Just tie that all together for us.
Okay. The name of the book is Argo.
Yes.
It was a film that we created, a script, a story to be able to rescue the six people by using Hollywood film location scouting party cover. When you're doing an exfiltration, you try to make the cover story as close as possible to the individual. Mm-hmm. But in this case, we had six amateurs that we wanted to bring all at once. And we weren't really sure that their ability to make it up as they go along was going to work. So we went to the other extreme, and we came up with an elaborate cover. The idea of using Hollywood wouldn't occur to a hostile intelligence service because nobody did stuff like that. They don't have traveling circuses to exfiltrate people. You had them blend in as best they could and not be noticed. But there's a principle of magic called misdirection. And if you do something like that, it makes people think, well, this is not a threatening act because we can understand what they're up to. And beside that, they're from Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So we invented this movie. I went to the West Coast and hooked up with a couple of our Hollywood consultants, and we put together virtually over a weekend a major motion picture production company called Studio 6 Productions. Called it Studio 6 because there were six people. We thought a big red six on our business card would would be interesting and would be a fun thing to do, since there are six people that will have Studio Six. And then we went looking for real estate. We found that there was a suite of offices on the old Columbia Studios lot that was being vacated by Michael Douglas, who had just finished shooting China Syndrome. And so we moved in when they moved out. And these guys that I was working with in Hollywood were top of their game, had plenty of favors to call in. We're able to get not only the real estate, but to get us telephones and everything we needed to set up operations over the weekend.
Hold your thoughts, Tony. We got to take a break. It's the Pat Williams Weekend Hour, News Talk WDBO. More with Antonio Mendez right after this.